You're listening to Steve Gruber on MTN. More talk now.
Hello. Is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home?
I wonder sometimes.
Come on, come on down.
I hear your feeling.
Down.
You know, there was a time in my life I listened to this album every single day, several times a day. Yeah, it's a long time ago. Anyhow, Ivy's in the studio, a security lax and lacking at the front door. Ivy, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. Sometimes I wonder if anybody is in there, out there.
Wait. You look at me and say, is anybody in there? Whoa. Time out. What was that?
Oh, you know.
What do you mean, is there anybody in there?
Hello? Knock, knock, knock. Hello?
Oh, boy. That went well. I'm sure glad we invited Ivy into the studio today. Too much coffee again today? What's going
I'm
on?
I'm doing the same thing about you. You're kind of fired up.
I'm good. Let's see here. I wanted to play this soundbite because I thought it was just so embarrassing that I thought I'd get your take on it as well. Maxine Waters, our hero and the finance committee or whatever she's in charge of. Banks and so forth. And so she's sitting there yesterday with a bunch of leaders of big banks, and Maxine Waters starts to hammer them on student loans. It's bite number 12, Alex. Go ahead and...
Last month, this committee received testimony that last year, 1 million student loan borrowers defaulted, which is on top of the 1 million borrowers who defaulted the year before. What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt? Who would like to answer first? Mr. Monahan, big bank.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you don't do it anymore, Mr. Corbett?
Mm-hmm. We exited student lending in 2009.
What?
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. What about small business? You mentioned that you were making loans to small businesses. Small business
She goes on, she's lost in the next question as well, but good God, this woman doesn't even know that the government took over all student loans 10 years ago. We've talked about it in this program on Infinitum because ever since the government took over, Ivy, as you well know, the cost of student loans has gone through the roof. The amount of student debt has gone through the roof. And universities...
tuition cost has gone through the roof.
Because they're lining their pockets. Harvard has an endowment of $38 billion.
That's an incredible number. Wow.
$38 billion Harvard has in its endowment. Think about that.
Well, I would expect Harvard, though, to be an expensive school to attend. I mean, I get that. Okay, Harvard has its name. But just, I mean, even if you go to the schools, though, a lot of them, it's like being in a resort.
It is being in a resort. They've got food courts.
Unbelievable.
Swimming pools and tanning beds. They've got it all.
Yeah, it is really something to see.
Do they have foot massage? I could use a foot massage.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess for me, I mean, I went to a private university. It was not all that lavish. There, it was a really good school, but we did not have those facilities. So I guess for me, I didn't have that experience. But when I've gone on other campuses, it's just incredible to me how.
And it's not just the colleges. Let me be clear about this because, you know, when I went to high school, we went to a school that was very Spartan, if you will. It wasn't particularly fancy. The middle school I went to, chunks of plaster literally would fall from the walls on occasion.
That might be a little too far.
It was, but now you go to some of these high schools, they look like they're an architect's dream. You know, they're on the front page of his resume, and I built this high school. And listen. Maybe we should be focusing on
reading, writing,
arithmetic, and not building, you know, trophies for the architect's resume. Just a thought.
I agree. And I just think that, there was so much of this. You have to go to college. You have to go to college to be successful. And we did so much of that for so many years. Now we have this talent gap, skills gap.
The skills gap when it comes to plumbers, electricians, carpenters, roofers.
Right, exactly. Right. And so we have to kind of rewire our thinking and the way that we talk about education, especially, you know, post K through 12, and tell kids, hey, you don't, that's not the only way. But even in, I feel like, our own household, sometimes we have to remember, hey, this isn't the only option for you. So I think we've been trained to think that way, and probably right around that time where the government took over.
Yeah, we continue
all
to
of the student loans and everything else.
Well, I mean, they've got a whole generation of kids that are on the hook for $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. They've got a whole generation of people that are, they can say to, hey, you know, if you vote for me, I'll go ahead and cut your student loan payments. Just vote for me. And if you vote for those bad people over there, they won't give you free money.
And then there's the, you know, you have $100,000 in student debt when you don't have a degree that's going to pay you anything.
Oh, that's right. They told them to go get a gender study degree or communications degree, like 10 billion people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Useless.
So I think trade schools and really kind of trying to rethink the way that we educate K through 12 and then post that, we have to really kind of take a dive in and say, how do we fix this? Because we do have issues. I mean, even in the state of Michigan, we just
Why do you look at me when you say we have issues? Why do you look at me? First of all, is there anybody in there? And then we have issues and you're staring right at me.
I'm having a conversation with you.
I'm a little sensitive today, apparently. Apparently. But you're right. We need more people that can do more things in the trades. I mean, the trades, if you want to make money, real money, if you're a carpenter or you can work concrete or you're an electrician, you'll work every day.
Oh, yeah.
Make your own way in this
and
world.
And even like in a state of like Florida, where the economy is booming, there's building everywhere. They also, I just feel like every state that you look into, everyone has a need for workers.
No, they certainly do.
And they just don't have them.
Right.
And it's interesting to kind of look at that and say, okay, what do we do? How do we change people's minds? And
well, we create a good worker, guest worker program that's controlled and regulated, and you can control some of this flow over the southern border. We teach our kids about trades and skills and things that they should be looking at. There are ways to accomplish this. Anyway, hold that thought. Ivy, good to have you here, as always.
Thank you.
It is a Thursday. We'll have some final thoughts and some reflections on the program right after this. We'll be right back.
Who says you can't build a healthy economy while protecting the environment? At DTE Energy, we're already doing it. DTE is on track to reduce carbon emissions by more than 80%, generating power from cleaner natural gas, solar, and wind, and creating thousands of Michigan jobs, all while keeping energy affordable and reliable. You see, we can have both a healthy environment and a healthy economy. DTE Energy. Find out more at journeytoeighty.com. For all the dinners cooked,
something smells good.
For all the clothes dried, for all the hot showers, there's safe, reliable natural gas from DTE. We keep gas safe by constantly inspecting, upgrading, and monitoring our lines 24/7, 365. So you can just enjoy all those dips in the hot tub.
Now this is the life.
Find out more at dteenergy.com. DTE.